on the one hand, of course, every community, every belonging has its extremists and hotheads, and they are a minority, but they get a publicity that others not always get. And usually communities deal with them, and the best way to deal with them is usually to ignore them and ostracize them rather than give them a platform. I am not so really convinced that the law should be used to jail for thought crimes, because I would think the police and the court should act to keep us safe from people who do us actual harm. So if our safety is compromised, if people actually do plot or do commit crimes, then the law needs to be brought in. But if people just boast and talk, and a lot of people do that, then I think it's quite dangerous to go down that way, because it trivializes the whole thing.
So I understand entirely the point you're making, but the fact is, I mean, as the judge said, the only fair interpretation he can make of this was that she intended to radicalize others, and perhaps even her children, it would seem.
Yes and no, because I understand that this whole thing came about because she boasted towards an undercover police officer. Now, did he entice her to say certain things? Did he radicalize her to start with? Is he going to face charges? Of course not. I think that the sentence is likely going to be reduced on an appeal anyway. But looking at the wider picture, I mean, having her children pose with toy guns, yes, it's bad taste, but how many people will buy toy guns for their children for Christmas?
It wasn't just the picture of the toy guns. It was a combination of the picture with the toy guns, with the swords. It would seem, and according to the judge in this case, and then the court, of course, it would seem that clearly there was enough evidence to suggest that she would have been radicalising her own children, if not others.
Yes, possibly. But how do we deal with things like that? We have an education system, we have a community support system, we have all kinds of mechanisms where people with views like that will hit a brick wall. But here they get elevated to hero status by some people, and by other people with radical tendencies, it gets held up as a sign that the whole system is out to get them. Not to forget that the whole conflict in Syria wasn't brought about by this mother of six, it was brought about by the British and the American governments interfering in a country and then not being able to handle it. So, you know, if you look at it in that context, it is not helpful
that Khan had published, Runa Khan had published an article for Islamist mothers about raising Mujahideen children on social media. When she's released, what should happen to her in terms of stopping her from any further attempts at radicalisation? I tell you why I asked the question, Sahib, because let me just explain why. I mean, I am curious to find out why this woman, mother of six, was compelled to take this particular view of the situation in Syria. Because last night when I did the fatal thing when I'm about to turn off the television, just flick through the channels, and on Channel 4 there was a documentary called Warzone A&E. Mm. And it was a documentary about a British doctor working in Aleppo in Syria.
Yes.
And if anyone wants to watch it, it is the most harrowing, the most daunting documentary you will watch. To watch fathers, for example, bring in the bodies of their young children. Yeah. There was one father with a three-year-old child, and the child was lifeless. And the father's desperate attempts to get the doctors to resuscitate him, and the doctors, the British doctors, trying. When someone sees that, why don't they think, I want to help the people of Syria by giving 50 quid rather than radicalising their own children?
I think we need programmes like that to make people understand the reality of war. I think what is so harmful is when war gets glorified as something desirable, whether it's glorified by governments or by a woman like this one who's dreaming up to raise children for the war effort. Either way, it's harmful and damaging, because war is brutal, war is nasty. In the end, nobody gains. I think programs that bring that reality home will do a lot more than going after people with the long arm of the law. This is what I'm thinking. There is an education process that needs to be followed and will be effective. And I don't know what happens to her children. They probably go in care or something now, and they'll take responsibility for their future. But and if that's good for them or not, I can't really comment. But the point here is that we have a whole system. They go to school, they go elsewhere. I mean, it's not just this one woman who has an impact on them. But the whole debate, backdrop to this is that we are using resources of the police, of the courts now, to police what people think and say rather than what they do and prevent them.
Sahib, but it could also lead to what they might do after they've thought and said those things. I've got to leave it there. Sahib, thank you. Dr. Sahib Blair, General Secretary of the Islamic Party of Britain.